The love of God. I've never felt the weight of a mighty mountain, but can you imagine God's love for you being like a mighty mountain? I don't understand all of God's love, but this morning He invites us into His presence, and He desires to do one thing, and that is to lavish His love on you, on us. Let's go to Him this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for Your incredible love for us. Lord, this morning we pray and commission our team that's heading to Mexico. Students from all over the country, Father, this morning are going to share Your love with children and people in a impoverished community. We ask, God, Your anointing, Your protection, Your safety as they travel. So, Father, be with Jackie and the team as they go this week. Anoint them. Give them fruit of their ministry. Let them see the labor is not in vain. God, go before them and give them a harvest and keep them safe. Heavenly Father, we think about our world even right now, and we pray for the men and women who are serving us, God. We think about the incredible things when we turn on the television, and it seems like you just kind of overwhelmingly say, really, another war? Is this really happening? And yet, God, right now in this place, we pray. God, we pray for the men and women who serve, for our freedom, for our protection. At the drop of a hat, whether we agree or disagree with the politics, today, Father, we need Your grace. We need Your protection. And God, would You keep them safe? Not just in Afghanistan and Iraq and now in Libya, but God, around the world, in Japan. Father, regardless of these days, we put our hope and our trust in a rock who cannot be moved. We put our hope and our faith in a God who absolutely desperately knows the circumstance. And God, You use us to show the light in the darkness. Let our hands and our hearts come together, that our faith would have actions, that our lips wouldn't just speak the words. God, our lives would live it. The world is simply waiting for a Christ to be revealed through those that follow. So here we are, Father. Take my life. Take my heart and my mind. Conform it, use it for Your glory. Father, we pray for our leaders. Give them wisdom. God, we pray that Your fire would sweep through our nation. God, if this is what it takes to get us to our knees when we've exhausted everything and the world comes down like a flood, if this is what it takes to have a life jacket, then we cry out, Father, save us. God, let Your nation cry out to You. May we come to that place where we turn to a holy God, and not just a holy God, but a just God, who believes in reaching out to His people who call on His name. Help us as a nation, Father. And in the Blue Water area, we pray today for families. We pray for husbands and wives, sons and daughters. God, let us see that revival happen within our homes. Let Your fire burn within us. God, we turn our homes over to You, and we want to see what You can do with our family. We want to see what You can do in our community. So God, we give You permission this morning. We've come to worship You. May we be a sweet aroma in our praise to You. Receive it. For those that are praying for healing, those that are needing a touch from Your Spirit in this congregation at this very hour, we pray, God, that You would move by Your Holy Spirit. Touch their lives. Let them feel the fire of God moving through their body. May they just receive that healing in Jesus' name. God, let the glory be Yours. We're crying out to You with prayers in this place that may never get past our lips. But Father, they'll never, ever go unheard from Your ears. You know our hearts. You know our prayers even before we say them. So thank You today for Your incredible, amazing love. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate that. Well, this morning, we're getting ready for our new series. We're going to invite our ushers to come forward for our morning tithes and offerings to worship the Lord through our giving. And we invite you, if you're here and this is home to you, feel free to worship the Lord in this time. If you're a visitor, just relax and just whatever God lays on your heart, Father, we pray for our offerings. Lord, we thank you for the impact that grace has in our lives. We thank you for this community right here and around the world. We want to make a difference to you. God, use these for your glory. Use these. Help us to be faithful and multiply it and use it. We know great things are ahead, God, and we want to see that happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said, we're starting Crazy Love, but while you're taking the offering, let me kind of get you ready because there was going to be another series starting today to get us to Easter called Who's My Neighbor? One of our board members came up with a great idea a couple months ago, said, "What about doing this series?" I said, "You bet, that sounds great." So we were going to have a whole set built up here of a backyard with a 6-foot fence and a barbecue pit. That's all coming right after Easter. We figure that's a better time to have the barbecue pit than it is right now, because if I invite you to go do barbecues, it'd be a lot easier in May and June, hopefully, than it is today. Excuse me. And so, in fact, the whole set design was going to be a simple design of this backyard, and you'll get to meet, because if we're going to do a backyard of Who's My Neighbor, we thought, well, we'll put a fence up there. And in the back of Tim, the Toolman Taylor's house, I mean, who shows up in his backyard with words of wisdom but Mr. Wilson? So you're going to meet Mr. Wilson in a few weeks, right after Easter, and he'll impart some kind of great truth for neighbors every week as he comes out. Howdy ho, neighbor. And we hope through that it'll be contagious in your neighborhoods, that we'll figure out who our neighbors are, and isn't it important to love our neighbors and to get to know them and minister to them. So that's all coming up this summer. But in the meantime, we're going to do a thing called Crazy Love. And it is crazy. When you think about love, love is an amazing thing. Putting this all together and trying to figure out, okay, God, how hard is it for a pastor to get up and tell people that you love them? I don't think it's rocket science. But sometimes we don't understand exactly what love is. And putting a sermon together about love, I think about a good friend of mine who's one of the best speakers in the nation. In fact, he's such a good speaker that he elevated as a youth pastor years ago, and then he became a youth pastor's pastor. And then he was promoted for several years, was such a tremendous communicator. They made him the director of all student ministries worldwide. I mean, this guy's phenomenal. He's a good friend of mine, Ross, and he tells me of the first sermon he ever preached. He got up in his church in Moncton, New Brunswick, and they had about 1,000 people who attended, and he got up to preach this first sermon. And he got up there, and he'd prepared. He'd been to college, and he was so excited. He got up, and he tells me, he said, "I got up there, and he just went blank." You know, every pastor's nightmare, you get up and you look at your notes. He said, "I looked at my notes and there they were. I worked all week on them and I just looked at them and they all just kind of scrabbled together." And he looked at them and went, and there was just silence for several minutes. And he didn't know what to do. And he just kind of stared and he went, "God, love." And he couldn't make any sense of his words, and all that came out was, "God loves you." Love God. He said for the next 10 minutes, that's all he could say. He couldn't read a word on his page. And he just kept saying it. God, love. Love God. God, love. Love God. And that was his sermon. And then when he sat down, that was his whole sermon, the very first one he ever preached. He really blew it, didn't he? All he could say was, "God, love." Isn't that amazing? If I'm going to mess up, I'll tell you what, that's actually a pretty good way to mess up. Because if there's anything people need to hear these days is God loves them. God's love. That's all he could say. And I mean, this guy's the most eloquent speaker, and I thought maybe he was eloquent. Maybe he did exactly what God wanted him to do. Maybe as a church, we just need to hear how much God loves us. Have we forgotten how in love? Well, if we want to talk about God's love, we probably need to define love. There's a lot of things, like our brother was saying before, there's a lot of songs sung about love. J. Geil's band will tell you that love stinks. Yeah, yeah. You got the Beatles who sing, "All We Need Is Love." Dun, da, 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 dun. That's all we need is love. You got other people singing songs. You got Elvis Presley that you sing, "Love Me Tender." And then you got Queen who says, "Crazy Little Thing Called Love." There's all kinds of love songs out there. There's all kinds of people writing about love. You know, someone says, "Hey, I love pizza." Okay. "I love that car. I love the Detroit Tigers." "I love that new hairdo. I love that. I love this. I love that new video game. I love my wife." Now, if I were to say that, someone would say, "Wait a minute, you love your wife and you said you love pizza. So is your wife like pizza?" "No. I love my black Labrador." "You said you loved your wife and you love your dog. What are you saying?" What I'm saying is we're really poor in the English language at definitions. When we say love, what do we mean? "I love you." I mean, that's a great word. Isn't that great, though, just to hear that? "I love you." Isn't it great to have someone love you? "I love you." Wow. It's a great word. Some people have written about love this way. One person said, Mother Teresa said, "The hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for food." Wow, that's pretty good. Eric Fromm, the great psychologist, said, "Love is the only sane and satisfactory answer to the problems of human existence." That's kind of deep. An unknown author said, "Love is a symbol of eternity. It wipes out all sense of time. It destroys all memories of the beginning and all my fears of the end." Wow, now that's something that could go on a bumper sticker. Frank Clark said, "A baby is born with a need to be loved and never outgrows it." Hammerstein, in one of his great musicals, who did The Music Man and The Sound of Music, had these words: "A bell is no bell till you ring it. A song is no song till you sing it. And love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love until you give it away." It's true. How about this? Robert Browning said, "Take away love and our earth is a tomb." Now that's going to end up on someone's Facebook today, posted. Take away love and the earth is a tomb. Think about that. Without love. Now, those are kind of serious. Those are kind of those heavy things. On a lighter side, love can be a whole lot more than that. Love is a thing that enables a woman to sing while she mops the floor after her husband walked across it with his barn boots on. That's love. She's still singing away. Love, Linda Berry said, "Love is an exploding cigar that we're willing to smoke." Love hurts sometimes. And my favorite theologian of all, and if you don't have his book in your library, you need to go down to the Christian bookstore. You won't find it, so go next door to Barnes & Noble. His name is Dr. Seuss. And Dr. Seuss says, "You know you're in love when you don't want to fall asleep because reality is finally better than your dreams." Dr. Seuss really said that. Well, that's what it says. Let me say that again. You know you're in love when you don't want to fall asleep because your reality is finally better than your dreams. I want to be in love. I want to love with all that life has to offer. And I want to know God's love. I think I know God's love, but I'm not sure of his. When he says, "I love you," what does that mean? God loves me. The only love I know from a father is the love I have from my father. Now, does that make it warped for you? Does that make it right for you? How does that feel to say I'm loved by someone close to me? And if you're loved by someone close to you, how they love you, is that how I think God loves me? I said, "God, we have a lot of definitions in this world of love. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many faces." And God came along and said, "I love you." And in that moment, and I'll never forget that moment where God loved me. I remember the place I was sitting. You know, I'll tell you, when you fall in love, You know that moment. I know the place where I first saw my wife. I can tell you exactly what she was wearing. She had a blue pinstripe suit on, two-piece skirt suit. She had blue high heels that were about 2 inches long, and the ends of them were scuffed. She had her hair back, and she came in, and she was very professional, businesslike, and I met her at a lunch. I remember that moment. I remember everything about it. I can still see all the people. I can see the place. I have all the sensations because I remember that moment. I remember the moment I fell in love with God. I was sitting in an office 12 miles from Ipswich out in a cornfield at a little church called Richland Wesleyan Church. It was a small little church. I'd been there 2 times on a Sunday morning, knew there was something different, didn't know what it was, and the pastor invited me to stop by before they were going on a youth retreat, wanted to know if I wanted to be a chaperone. I was 19 years old. I had a quarter ounce of Colombian gold weed in my car. I was moving in with 2 guys who were druggies and a girl into a house at 412 High Street at my university where I was studying pre-law. I know my whole life. I know the moment because when that happened, when I fell in love and I discovered that love, it changed everything. I remember I sat at his desk and he says, okay, we're going to go on to this youth retreat in Urbana, Illinois, and we want you to go as a chaperone. Now, I just have to ask you a question. Do you know who Jesus is? That's a good question to ask your chaperones. You never know about chaperones. And I looked at him and I said, I don't know. I remember praying with him. And he just walked me through it. And when I discovered that, he said, Mitch, I just want to tell you something. God loves you. Do you know that? And I really had never heard that before. And I remember when we prayed, he led me in a simple prayer. And I just kind of said whatever he said. God, I know you died for my sins. I know you rose from the dead. I know I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me? I remember that moment. I remember every sensation. I remember every thought. Like the blue high heels and the pinstripe suit. I remember the wooden desk. I remember the papers on the desk. I remember the little chair I was sitting in. I remember the prayer. And I remember at that very moment what happened to me. My eyes were closed. And I was praying, and in that very moment, I'll never forget the image I had all of a sudden went from that office to the Sierra Mountains in California near Three Prong, up near Sacramento, way up in the mountains where my father took me deer hunting as a boy. And growing up in that place, we had a tent, and we had to get water from a higher elevation from this fresh spring. That's where we drank our water from, and that's kind of where we bathed. I remember in that very moment, as if God took me, and I saw that stream. I could taste that cold, clear water in that mountain, and I could feel myself, and it was like God grabbed a hold of me and just put me underneath that water. And when he pulled me out, I opened my eyes on that amen. And in that amen, I knew my life was different. And I felt a love that overwhelmed me. I had been dipped in the ocean of God, and I was clean. I was new. I knew nothing about it other than this. Something got a hold of me, and I was in love. And in that moment, when I was dipped and I came out, I opened my eyes and said amen. He said, I'll see you in 3 days. When we leave, I went out to my car. I got to my car, and I don't know what happened, but because I was in love, I grabbed a hold of that bag of weed. I dumped it out in that cornfield. I don't know who ate that corn, but I dumped it in the cornfield. Nobody told me to dump it in the cornfield. I went back. I talked to my roommates. Everything changed. Everything changed. I was in love. And I thought I knew God's love because it absolutely changed my life. I said, God, I want your definition of love. And you know what's amazing? The Bible says in 1 John, look at this verse. We'll bring it up for you. It says in 1 John, I believe it's in chapter 4, verse 16. It says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And say this with me, the next 3 words. God is love. See, God's not like love. God doesn't give love. God is love. Everything you know about love comes from God. To really know love, you have to know God. You can try to love without God, but you have to come up with your own definition. But God is love. Now, with that being said, I'd like to do a favor. Do me a favor. I want to read this love chapter. By the way, this love chapter is great. 1 Corinthians 13, God defines love. He doesn't let the world do it. He does it. I do a lot of weddings, and this is one of the most read passages of the wedding. How many of you had 1 Corinthians 13? Did you have that read at your wedding? Look at the hands going. Yeah, it's a very popular verse. Can I read this with God's definition? Because if God is love, I'd like to substitute the word love is patient. I'd like to substitute the word God because God is love. Let me read it to you this way. Let me show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have God, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have God, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I don't have God, I gain nothing. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God is not rude, and God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no records of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes. And God always perseveres. God never fails. Now let me say the last verse of this. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and God. But the greatest of these is God. That's as crazy as it can get. I went to the store on Friday night. I called these guys and said, I just need an hour of your time. Can you build something for me? You know, 6 hours later, they built it. I was at the Joann Fabrics getting some of this stuff, and they had these letters. I said, that's going to save me hours of stuff. And I grabbed these five letters, C-R-A-Z-Y, and I get up to the counter. I grab this fabric, and I get up to the counter, and some of it's on sale. And the lady goes, what are you doing? And I told the one gal, I said, I'm doing something crazy. I'm going to talk to a church about crazy love. And she reaches in her pocket, and she pulls out a coupon. And she goes, I know you can't use any other coupons because it's already on sale, but here's another 25% off. And I thought, that was God saying, here's another 25%. You do whatever it takes. You go tell people about God's amazing, incredible, crazy love for you. And I want you to know today, He is crazy about you. When you woke up this morning, He put the sun in the right where it was at, just so that you could go, God, you love me. Last night, He put out the starry host by the billions, and He named them all because He loves you. That is our God. And He defines His love, and I say, well, what kind of love is that? I want to know that crazy kind of love. The Bible gives four words for love. We have one word in English, so if you say you love your dog, and you love pizza, and you love a sports team, and you love a hairdo, you love that fashion outfit, it's all the same word, love. It really doesn't do it justice. God uses four words for love. He used the word eros, storge, phileo, and agape. Those are the four Greek words in the New Testament. The first one is eros. God says, I love you with an eros kind of love. It's where we get the English word erotic. Now, when I say the word erotic, the first thing that's going to go through people's mind is probably something that deals with the world, that it's somehow debased or perverted. Can I tell you, erotic love is a great thing. See, the world is twisted. The devil has twisted everything of God's love. Eros is that love that's called attractional love. It's actually biblical. It's that love that caused Adam to wake up one morning after his ribs have been kind of messed with, and he looks, and there's Eve, and he says, whoa, man, whoa, man. I'm going to call you woman. You are awesome. He had that eros about him. You always wondered where that came from, right? Now you know. I don't know if that's true. I'm writing that down. I'll be back next week. Whoa, man. I've never heard of such a thing in a whoa, man. It's in the Bible. And he said, there's this attraction that God has created within us. It's what attracted you to love people. It's what caused that. You know, it's a pheromone kind of love. It's a chemical kind of love. You know, people say, I just fell in love. Yeah, you might have had an attractional, because there are those things that cause some people to be attracted to some people and not to others. And that's that level of love that tends to be more superficial, they say, but it's still a biblical form of love. And it's kind of that fragrance. We get those pheromones that cause that to happen. You kind of see someone and it just kind of makes your liver quiver and your knees freeze, okay? I put that on my wife's Facebook website. I hacked into it not too long ago. We have a hacking war in our house. If you leave your Facebook open, it's just kind of become fair game. And I went in one day and I saw my wife's was open. I thought, okay. And I just typed, everybody, I just want you to know, after 26 years, my husband is the greatest. He is so incredibly rugged and handsome. He makes my liver quiver and my knees freeze. It was great because I couldn't wait to go back later on in the day and see what all of her friends wrote. And they all got in there, oh, that's so sweet. Oh, you're still so in love. You're so lucky. And I'm going, yeah, yeah. I got down to about the fourth comment and it said, did Mitch hack this? Because I know better. I'm thinking, man, I was that close. It was so close. That's kind of that eros, that love that kind of creates that attraction. I had a friend that used to do this, you know, because you see certain people and it creates pheromones. And you kind of get that attraction. And there's nothing wrong with that. God sees you and there ought to be an attraction. But there's not. There's a repelling because of our sin and our sin nature. It's not exactly attraction. I had a buddy that, a pastor that came on staff with us 1 year, and we met him and we interviewed him. And he was an older gentleman in his 50s, and he was brand new on staff, and we hadn't met his wife. And he had this joke he always loved to play. And he goes, oh, yeah, my wife is incredible. She's such a big part of my ministry. She is the most beautiful, drop-dead, gorgeous woman you've ever seen. Oh, she just has the flowing hair and the beautiful eyes and all this stuff. And as he's describing this, we're like, oh, okay, okay. He says, you want to see a picture? And he reaches in his wallet, and he pulls out a picture, and I think it's been kind of tampered with, but of the most hideous-looking person. I mean, the face was all sunken. I think they doctored it with the picture things and no teeth and sunken in warts and holes and moles everywhere and said, isn't she beautiful? We're all standing there and what are you going to say? My pheromones ain't happening here. And he's just sitting there waiting to laugh because it was a picture he had doctored and put in there to do this to people. And this was his joke for the 3 years I know. And he just constantly did this. And I looked at him and went, oh. And all the guys are going, she's nice. And then, of course, for him, he just starts busting out laughing. Whatever. Oh. Yeah. You know what's amazing about that? There's probably someone that God has created that would have some kind of connection with, because God has created us to be loved and to love. And it's amazing how God puts people together. Someone is going to have their liver quiver for that woman if she's real. Because God has that for all of us. And it's an amazing thing. It's almost like, you know, people put on, and let me explain eros this way. People put on fragrance, perfume, aftershave guys or foo-foo juice in my house. You put it on, And you get this, oh, that's nice, or what is that? I think I'm going to throw up. Roll the windows down. What do you got on? Because it creates an aroma. Do you know that we are an aroma to God? That he actually calls us an aroma? In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, God describes us this way in this scripture. He says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Through us spreads everywhere a fragrance of a knowledge of him. And look at this. It says, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved, to those who are perishing, and to those who are perishing. To one, we're the smell of death, but to the others, we are the fragrance of life. Do you know that you are an aroma? And here's what's crazy about God's love is eros in the eros way. If I'm an aroma to God because of my sins, I must be an awful stench to God. The Bible says in Isaiah that we are all of our righteousness, all of our perfumes that we put on, the Bible says are like filthy rags. You might as well just throw them away. Because to God, whoa, what is that rag? Is that the dish rag that hasn't been washed for a month? To God, it's like it's been 6 months, and I think somebody left it in the bathroom, and it somehow got out in the dog kennel, and somewhere it was dragged through the streets through some dead animals. Hey, let's go ahead and wash our dishes with it. And God says, and I think, God, you've got to be crazy. Can I tell you this morning, I think God is crazy because he's crazy to love us. Think about this. God loves you. He's attracted to you because I have the aroma of Christ on me. I have been sprayed. I have been dipped. I have been washed in Christ. And because of that, I'm an aroma to God. He actually wants me. I don't know about you, folks, but I want you to know this. The devil can open up his wallet and say, hey, you guys want to see Mitch? I mean, he's this guy, blah, blah, blah. And look, isn't he the ugliest thing you've ever seen? And to God, I am not a stench. To God, through Christ Jesus, God goes, I am so in love. Mitch, you make my heart beat a little faster. I'd like to know that right now in heaven, that God is excited about talking to you. I'd like to think in heaven right now, God wants to embrace you. I'd like to think that God is pursuing. You know, when I fell in love with my wife, I bought her candy. I got her flowers. I wrote poetry because love will make you do that. And I'd like to think in heaven right now that God is pursuing you, that he is writing you some of the most beautiful poetry you've ever heard in your life. God is sending you gifts in your life. He wants to buy you chocolates. He wants to give you flowers. In fact, here in about 6 weeks, he's going to spring this world up with some of the most beautiful flowers that you've ever seen. And he's created them just for you. When he laid out the stars, he says, how's that for a gift? Now will you go out with me? Now will you love me? In fact, I'd like to spend the rest of my life with you. Oh, God. You are so wonderful. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. God wants to give me gifts. He wants to write me poetry. He wants to love. He wants to spend eternity with me. You have got to be crazy, God. I'm not the kind of guy you want to spend eternity. I love you. Okay, that's crazy. Have you met his crazy love? The next one is storge. This is a simple, short, sweet one. Storge love is this. The best way to say storge love, S-T-O-R-G-E, is this. It's what you would call a be yourself kind of love. I tell kids in counseling when they come to me for marriage, I said, you'll get to that storge love. How do you know when you can get there? It's when you can smell each other's socks and not be embarrassed. It's when you can do things that you might have been a little embarrassed to do, when maybe the door's left open when you're changing, maybe you don't shut the bathroom door and you don't even turn the fan on. And they go, really? Really? I'm not trying to be crude here. I'm trying to let you know something. When you get so comfortable around God, because sometimes we get around God, we're like, hey, look, it's Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Relax. I am. Really? Relax. Loosen up. What are you going to do today? I'm going to praise Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise Jesus. Praise you. It's like, can we go do something and hang out? Yeah, we can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Praise you. How about you put your arms down and we just sit down and go, let's go have a Coke. Let's just sit down and have a coffee. Why don't we sit down and watch a movie? Why don't we go for a ride together? Why don't we listen to some music? With Jesus, can you get so comfortable? He says, I'm so comfortable with you. Here it is. Even knowing who you are, I still like you. That's crazy. Do you know what I did today, God? Do you know what I've done this week? You still want to hang out with me? Yes, I love you. That's got to be some kind of crazy love. Let me explain it this way. My wife, when we got married, I had this sweater. It was a white sweater, and I love that sweater. It is the most comfortable sweater in the world. I wore it playing football in the snow. I'd wear it working on a car. I'd wear it golfing in the fall. I'd wear it doing whatever I could to wear it. Well, I had it for years and years and years, and she tried to get rid of it a few times after 10, 12, 15 years, having the same sweater that I'd wear all the time. It developed a lot of holes in it and a few dirt spots that just you just can't get them out after so long. It disappeared a few years ago. Those kids. I love that sweater. I know, she said, I hate that sweater. It's got holes in it. It's dirty. It's ugly. I hate that sweater. I said, I know you hate it. I love that sweater. I'm so comfortable in that sweater. Can I tell you something? God knows all my holes. He knows all my dirt. And there are people going, you? God doesn't want you anymore. It's like, you know what? God loves me so much. You have no idea. He loves to just every day just go ahead and put me into his life. Every day God loves me. That's what storge love is. It's that kind of love that says, I love you. Even when you wake up in the morning and the honeymoon is over and you're laying there and the drool is coming down onto your pillow and it's going into your ear, your breath is just horrific. And she wakes up and says, good morning, can I have a kiss? And you're thinking, you don't want none of this. the hair's matted and it's ugly, and you still embrace and you still kiss, because even all your ugly is beautiful to me. Because love in storge says, I love all of you. I don't just love you on the pretty days, I love you on those days too. And oh God, thank you for loving me on those days. I want to love you in those too. The third one and the fourth one go together, and I'll close it with this. It goes together in John chapter 1. It's phileo. We get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Those of you that have brothers probably know. And if you've ever been to Philadelphia, it's not so friendly. I had a friend arrested with his youth group and thrown in jail in Philadelphia. They all spent about 2 hours at the local city police station because they fed the homeless, and it's against the law to feed the homeless downtown Philadelphia. So they arrested him. And I thought, oh no, welcome to the city of brotherly love. Because the city of brotherly love may have the title and the desire, but not always the actions. Okay. I have the desires, but I don't always have the actions to love. I discovered this because I have boys, and they have brotherly love. They have the desire to love each other, but when they were really small, it was funny, because when they were small, they would wrestle. In fact, I got a videotape before my basement was done. They grabbed every cushion in the house, and they piled it down there. And I remember watching this video not too long ago thinking, oh, I forgot all about this. And the oldest would pile drive the youngest from about 4 feet high, because he was so small. And then the second one just looked as he was winning, and he was on his team. Now they've grown up, and I said, well, brotherly love, they've grown up. They're going to love each other like brothers. They'll stop doing these kind of things. Now they're 23, 21, and 19. And oh boy, has it not stopped. I go in, and I hear this. Rawr! I go downstairs, and what are they doing? They're throwing down. This time, the little one that was used to be so little ain't so little. He was an all-state wrestler. And the middle one that's looking for a team has 15-inch biceps, is an MP military special train killer. And I'm thinking, good luck, just don't break anything or mama's going to get you. Brotherly love is phileo. And God says, I want you to love me with a brotherly love. And I'm thinking, that's that, I got the heart, because here it is. If anybody turned on those brothers united as one. Let the enemy come in and those boys are together. You know what? We may bicker with brotherly love sometimes as a family. But you let the devil attack anybody we love. And I tell you, it'll be amazing to see the body come together in unity. You know, it's amazing when 9/11 happened, how America came together. We weren't Republicans and Democrats. We weren't white or black. We weren't Jew or Gentile. You know what? We were Americans. 3,000 people died. We saw some of the most heroic things that ever happened. We saw guys with badges and fire suits running upstairs to save you. Wow, I don't even know you. That's brotherly love. And God says, I want you to know that brotherly love. His name is Peter, and he was Jesus' best friend in the world. And one night they came and they grabbed Jesus, and Peter pulls out a sword. I'll kill, I'll die for you, I'll do anything for you. He says, Peter, I love you too. And he goes and he gets arrested. He's in the courtyard, and Peter does three things. I never knew him. That Jesus. Hey, aren't you one? I hate his guts. Two. Three. Curse his name. He ought to die. Curse him that he was ever born. And Jesus, in the scope of hearing, heard Peter, his best friend, say that. You ever been hurt by a brother? Ouch. And God says, I got some crazy love for you. Peter, I still love you. Death, resurrection, and here comes Jesus right to Peter. In John chapter 21, in verse 15, it says this. Jesus shows up. You know where Peter wants to go? Underneath a rock somewhere. And Jesus walks up, and you know the first thing he says? He says, Peter, do you love me? Ooh. And Peter says, you know, Lord, I love you. In verse 16, he says, Peter, I'm going to ask you. No, I'm sorry, he doesn't say Peter, excuse me. He says, Simon. He says, Simon, son of Jonah. You know what's interesting? He asks him not who he is. He asks him who he used to be before he came to Jesus. So he's kind of going his path. He says, Simon, do you love me? And Simon says, Lord, you know I love you. Third time he asks him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And it says, Peter answered him and said, angry, distraught, hurt, Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. That sounds like Three times he denied him. Three times he asked him, all right, everything's good, isn't it? That's in the English. See, the English doesn't do us any good. Go to the Greek, and here's these two words. Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And agape, here's agape love. Agape love says, no matter what, I'm going to still love you. Agape love is unconditional. Agape love says, treat me any way you want, I'm still going to love you with all my heart. And he says, Peter, that's that crazy love. That's that crazy, you love me? God has that agape love for us because I'm thinking, that's kind of crazy, God. Have you seen what we've been doing lately? I mean, we're in Libya now blowing people up. We got crooks and criminals running the country that aren't quite so honest. When I say criminals, I'm talking about a record. This isn't subjective. This is objective. We got pulpits that are filled with pastors who have no integrity. We have people who are lying and cheating on scores. We have teachers who don't know how to correct a paper because it might make the student feel bad. We got students who don't know what to do. We can't even define love in this world because we're going to legalize anything you could possibly imagine that's anything but love. And you want to do what? You want to love us? You got to be crazy to love us. Oh, I don't want to just love you. I want to love you with a crazy love. And Peter's asked the question, Peter, do you agape me? Do you crazy love me? And Peter goes, Lord, I phileo you. He asks him a second time, do you agape me? He says, Lord, I phileo you. He asks him a third time, Peter, do you phileo me? You know, Peter, why he was so sad? Because he couldn't love God the way God was loving him. But you know what's great in this? And here it is. Here's what's great. When we can't love God at that level, God comes down to our level and loves us right where we're at. Oh, God, I'm not at agape. That's okay. I may not be at phileo. I'll meet you there too. Wherever you're at, I'm going to love you right there. And that's what God wants to do this morning. God wants to love us at that place. God will come right where we're at. In fact, the guy went outside of his door and he nailed a sign up outside the pet store and said, puppies for sale. The minute you nail a sign like that up and say puppies for sale, you know what happens? You attract every kid in the neighborhood. A little boy walked in. He said, you got puppies for sale? He said, yeah. He says, can I see them? This little boy was standing there and you can find this in Chicken Soup for the Soul. And this lady brings out this litter of pups. And out they come, just barking and yiping, the cutest little dogs you've ever seen. And this little boy's eyes light up. And there's one straggling behind, and he saw him. He says, what's the matter with that one? He goes, oh, he was born without a hip socket. He's crippled. That's the one I want. I want him. How much, mister, for your puppies? And he said, $50 a puppy. He reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out $2.37, and he puts it on the counter with his gumballs and marbles. And the man says, oh, no, tell you what, son, I'll give him to you for free. He says, no, sir, mister, I don't want to, he's not free. He's worth as much and every bit as worth as every one of those other puppies. He says, son, you don't want this puppy. You don't want to buy this puppy. He says, yes, I do. He says, that puppy will never play or jump or run like all the other ones. He's crippled. And he says, here you go. Here's my $2.37, and I'll give you $5 a week with my paper route money until he's paid for. He says, son, why do you want that puppy? You can have one of these other ones. And the little boy reaches down, and he rolls up his pant leg to show this maimed, crippled ankle with a piece of metal holding it together. He says, you see, mister, that little puppy's going to need someone who understands him. And I love that story just for this reason. My God came down. And he said this. He said, I'm going to go. And they said, you want to love that? You don't want, the devil said, you don't want those people. Look at them. They're not normal. They're handicapped. They're broken. They're sinful. And Jesus says, no, I want you. And I want you. I want every one of you. Really? Really. And he said, not only do I want you, I've got this crazy idea that I want to love you with a crazy love. In fact, if it's okay with you, for all of your brokenness, I'd like to go ahead and take all that on myself. In fact, I'm going to do something so crazy that whether you accept me or not, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and have my body broken into pieces for you. I just saw last night on the news, there's a trend in Europe. Right now, Europe has 5% religion, all of Europe, 5%. They said if the trend continues, by the year 2050, there will be no religion in Europe at all. Are you crazy? You're going to go die for people who don't even want you? The world has quit. Religion is done. It's dead. And I say, no. Come on, Jesus. Because if there's a dark room, you're just looking for a flashlight. I'll go to Europe. If that happens in the next few years, I'll tell you what, we'll send some people over and start some churches. Because that's going to be a very dark room, and I bet they're going to need some light switches. What a great opportunity for God. How hungry are you this morning for the Lord? I'm going to invite the ushers. We're going to pass out these elements. Come and join me, gentlemen. We're going to hand out this. I want you to hold on to the bread, and then right after we'll be passing out the juice. Hold on to it. The Bible says to examine your heart. A man must examine his heart before he takes communion. And so I want you to think about that as we serve. What you're about to receive, the only question I would have had would for Jesus is, really, this is what you're going to do. That's some kind of crazy idea, but it's crazy enough. It might just work. Scripture says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Isn't it amazing what happened on one mountainside? The world for centuries had been drawn to him. And he took, with his crazy love, said, this is what I'm going to do. For all of your brokenness, he said to his disciples, as he broke the bread, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. And he took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood, which will be poured out for many, for the sins of many. And every time you do this, remember what I've done. Take and drink. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Today, we remember. Today, we celebrate the most incredible love. Lord, may we all be dipped in that ocean of your grace. I pray that each heart here will be overwhelmed this week as we go from this place. Let us fall in love with your love. Help us, God, right where we're at. And we go into our world now to share that same love. May the world see that in us so they might know that there's still hope. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, everyone said, amen. God bless you. Go out and discover God's crazy love.